right. Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see everybody this evening. And hope everybody's been having a good week this week. Everybody been doing good? Good, good, good. Well, that is good. And still trying to get my voice resolved. I don't feel bad. The coughing has gone away a whole lot. And I think it's just my voice being hoarse from coughing so much. So if y'all could just put up with me a little bit longer, we'll get to where we need to be. Doctor called in some cough medicine, but I can only take it when I get ready to go to sleep because it makes me sleepy. So, but anyway, we'll get there sooner than later. And we're just going to jump right into things tonight, and right on time it looks like. Miss Glenda, how's Brother Alan Barrett doing?
He is improving.
Great. Great. Excellent. Excellent. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Don't put you to sleep.
So, y'all please pray specifically for the therapy in the hospital.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, that's why they want to get it there in the hospital because it's a lot more intense than if it goes somewhere else.
Well, let's remember this request tonight and whenever we pray. It's good to have our official member, Miss Noelle, with us on Wednesday. This isn't her first Wednesday night, but it is as a member. And so great to have her with us tonight. Always good to have Brother Travis in the back with us. May come in more and more often. And so appreciate that. I'll just start reading off from our prayer bulletin, and then I'll open up the floor for you guys. Let's remember our children's home, Brother Dion Lauder, as he continues to get better with his knee replacement. Ms. Joanne Rich, James and Shirley Townsend, Alan Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Brother Harold Dolph, Don and Carla Rich, Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Richard Martin, Miss Marianne Sanvey and her upcoming knee surgery, Shauna Bendy. She had a test on Tuesday. I believe it was another spinal tap. She said it wasn't successful. And also, I believe Michael had a job interview today at another job. So let's remember the Bendys tonight. Claudia Darby, C.C. Prestridge, Randy and Diane Ely, the Dalys, Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Melissa Slagle, James Tolan Brown, that's in the Marines, Peyton Cochran, the Navy, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, of course, all the rest of our shut-ins, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, and any others we may have out there. I'll open up the floor if you have a request or a praise or update, anything you want to share pertaining to the church, or likewise, you can mention those now. Okay. Let's remember this tonight. Miss Tracy's aunt. Travis? Amen, brother. Amen. I appreciate you mentioning that. Got a confirmation back from Victory Baptist Press, And said those were sent out, I believe it was, last week, and the Bibles are coming here this week. Got yours? All right. All right. Oh, you got the postcard? All right. I know they'll be here soon. So how do they look? Good, good, good. Well, we'll have the Bibles here sometime, probably next week. They'll probably get here. But 23,000 in the community. And so 1%, Brother Jeff, 1%.
If 1% visit, I mean, part of that.
Part, yeah. Yeah. 1%. Absolutely. Even a quarter of a percent will be great. So, yes, that join that wants to work. But, yeah, you got me excited when you mentioned that. We were texting the other day. And so, but anyway, we will, let's just pray them in. Pray them in. But also always be ready, and I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but also be ready in the community, whatever you're doing, grocery shopping, God will line you up with somebody to bump into, and just be ready to be that witness, just to let them know what the Lord has done for you. But anyway, that's exciting, so let's remember those postcards as they're in the community. Anyone else? Ms. Glenda? Jeez. Rhett. You say your nephew? Cousin. Let's remember this. Anyone else? Absolutely, Miss Pam. We sure will. Sharon? Yes. Niece Jennifer, we sure will. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing, Sharon. Anyone else? All right. Well, again, it's good to be here. Things have been kind of calm at the schoolhouse this week, and I praise the Lord for that. No troubles or woes there. And every day that Lily comes home and everything is fine is great. So, all right. If that's all we got, then we won't waste any time. We'll go right into prayer. All right, all that would, meet us in the altar or pray right where you're at. We will pray for these, and then Brother Jeff has a song for us. all have our own story, don't we? Our own story of grace. How we met the Lord. Our story is continuing. And our story is not over yet. Sometimes people on Facebook will put little posts out there about my story isn't over yet. And I like that. I like that. And we'll just have to trust the Lord for the next chapter, won't we? Praise the Lord. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tonight. 1 Corinthians 16. I just want to continue to praise the Lord for the praise report we got last week on Christy. And I'm just so thankful for that. and I ask that you pray for me. I got my good report. But you see, sometimes my body knows that I get these good reports, and I find myself drifting back into the things I shouldn't, like sweets. I'm not a diabetic anymore, but I don't want to be one either in a couple of weeks. So anyway, I tell you, sometimes I'm my worst enemy. I stand in the way of my own self. But I do praise the Lord for my good report, and I continue to praise the Lord for her good report. And God is still doing great things, and yet He uses all things, whether it's good reports or bad reports. God is still using everything. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I want to start in verse number 7 in just a moment. Verse number 7. Do want to bow for a word of prayer quickly, and then we're going to read from verse number 7 down to verse number 9. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You and we praise You for who You are. And Lord, we praise You for what You do. Some things we don't agree with, but Lord, we bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ because You are our Savior. You are in charge. And Father, we just pray tonight that You would bless Your Word, the reading of it. Holy Spirit, I pray You communicate it to the hearts of Your people. Only You know where everybody is at tonight in this building, in their heart and in their minds. I pray You give them direction and encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Notice, if you will, in verse number 7. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I want to stop reading there in verse number 9. And by way of introduction, a little bit of background information so we understand what's going on here. We know that Paul had organized a collection to be taken up for the poor in Jerusalem. And so many churches were involved in this collection. Verse number 1, the churches of Galatia were involved. Verse number 5, we see Macedonia were involved, and he now involves the church of Corinth. And so Paul is doing a lot of things. He's on his missionary journey, and he is looking out for God's people. He's doing this, he's doing that. But during Paul's planning to go to Corinth, as originally he was en route to Corinth, he stops at Ephesus. And it's at Ephesus that God uses him in a great, great way. Now, you can go and read the details of this in Acts chapter number 19 and it'll make the picture a little more clearer as to what took place in Ephesus. Tonight, I want to take that thought, take that idea of when Paul was at Ephesus and how that God used him greatly there. And I want to share with you for a few moments this title, this subject, Encountering Ephesus. Encountering Ephesus. Just three things that Paul encountered while he was at Ephesus as he was en route to Corinth to get that collection and to distribute it to the poor. He stopped at Ephesus and God used him greatly. Let me say this before we get started, that you just never know what God is doing. You may be en route in a particular day going somewhere, your target destination, and you may find yourself making a stop here, making a stop there, and really something happening there that's good and beneficial, and you see that God really did something there. Or in life in general, you may find yourself wanting to go in one direction and yet finding yourself really not able to go in that direction and finding yourself kind of at a standstill. But if you know the Lord is your Savior, and I know you do, then the Lord has a way of directing our lives and cautioning our lives, and He has purposes and He has a plan. And that's what I want us to see here in the life of Paul as he attempts to go to Corinth and he stops at Ephesus and how God uses him greatly there. The first thing that Paul encountered at Ephesus, Paul encountered opportunity. Notice if you would in verse number 9, he says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Number one, he talks about this great door. And this great door speaks of great opportunity. It speaks of access. And so we know when we walk through a door and it's opened that we have access. This door is a swinging door, same concept. If it's closed, then we push our way through, and it's not locked, then we can go from one place to another. And so there was a great door here he talks about. This was a door of access, a door of opportunity. Now, this door of access, of opportunity, he calls it this because, number one, of the population of Ephesus. So many people were there. Ephesus was a very populated place. But not only that, but there in Ephesus, many worshipped the goddess Diana and her temple, or at her temple there in Ephesus. The goddess Diana was worshipped. And so Paul was at a place that was pagan. And Paul was at a place where they were worshipping false gods. And so he looked at this as opportunity. And I think we don't have to go far out of Calvary Baptist Church to know that we're living in a place, in a land of opportunity. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, there is always opportunity given by God to share the gospel. And so this was opportunity to preach the gospel there at Ephesus. And it was a great door that was opened unto him. Now, Paul took advantage of this opportunity because, as I just said, it was an open door, but Paul took advantage of this opportunity because he was open for the will of God. And I believe sometimes God will either close doors or open doors if we are either available or unavailable for His service. Now, Paul was available for God's will, and Paul was available for God's usage, and because of that, there was a great door open. And unless we're at a place where we are ready to sign our name on a blank piece of paper and say, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go," unless we're in that kind of position, then God may not open any doors for us. But if we are that person who signs our name on a blank piece of paper and says, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it," be ready for some doors to open. Because the Lord has a way of opening great doors and doing great and mighty things that we know not. And so we see that Paul encountered opportunity. And he encountered this opportunity because he was open for the will of God. He was headed toward Corinth, yet God parked him at Ephesus a while. You remember in Acts chapter number 8 and verse 26, you don't have to turn there, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Philip was at a place where revival was taking place, where souls were being saved, lives were being changed, demons were being cast out, all kinds of great things were happening there where Philip was at, but yet the Lord spoke to him and changed his course, and he was at Samaria at the particular time, but God changed his course and Philip went south. Can you imagine what was going on in the mind of Philip? In Samaria, preaching, being used by God, God blessing the whole situation, lives changing, believers being multiplied, and then God says, Philip, I want you to go south. Can you imagine the road to when he got there to the eunuch that he saw that was reading Isaiah and couldn't understand it? What about that road? What about that road? Picture Philip going down that long, dusty road. He hasn't found the answer yet. He just knew that God said, go, and he went. There may have been, and I'm just reading between the lines here, there may have been a time when Philip said, Lord, did I hear you right? Because back over here, things were happening. And now you want me to go south, and you said there is your will for me is to be there, and here I am, and all I see is this old dusty road. And I'm trying to be obedient, trying to follow you, but you know what? Sometimes in life, it's that way. God tells us to do something. God tells us to go somewhere. We feel like he wants us to be at a certain place, to do certain things, and sometimes when we don't see results immediately, we shut down spiritually. When we don't give people chances, we shut down immediately. And we look for fruit to be bared, and we look for things to be happening, and you know, and all of that kind of thing. But the thing about it is we have to be obedient and we have to give it time. Eventually, Philip made it there. And it was that one man, that eunuch, sitting in his chariot, and he could not understand what the Bible said. Philip led him to the Lord. He got saved and baptized. Same thing with Paul. He was heading toward Corinth. In fact, Paul says in verse number 7, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. Paul says, I'm passing right by. I would love to come in and say hello, but God really has me moving. I'll tell you what, I'll take a rain check and I'll come back and I'll stay a while. I'll stay through winter, but this time I have to keep moving. And so he passed him by and he kept moving and he said, there was a great door opened unto me, and I believe it was because he kept moving. Keep moving tonight, church. Keep going. Keep moving forward because God has a great door for you. God has a blessing for you. God has an area to serve. God has something waiting for you just up ahead, but you have to keep moving. So Paul kept moving and he found that there was a great door opened unto him. Now, not only he encountered opportunity there in Ephesus, but number two, he encountered operations. You say, what do you mean operations? One second, let me cough. Operations. Look again in verse number 9. He says, for a great door, but then he says, and effectual is opened unto me. This effectual door, Not only was a great door, it was a door accessible, but it was an effectual door, which meant that on the other side, when he walked through that door, spiritually speaking, there was operations, there was activity. There were things happening, especially when Paul got there and began to preach. Things began to happen. God was working. It was an effectual door, an active door, an operative door. There were good effects. There were results through this door. And again, we get results, maybe not when we want them, but there will be results if we go through the doors God wants us to go through. There will be fruit to be bared. Some 30, some 60, some 90, some bear fruit greater than others, but there will be fruit to be bared whenever God's working. So this great door was an effectual door. And again, it speaks of God working. It speaks of activity, being active, operative, good effects, results. People were getting saved in Ephesus. Demons were being cast out in Ephesus. People were being healed. Idols were being demolished. Churches were being built. All there at Ephesus. So by the time Paul left, the Ephesians fell on his neck and kissed him after 3 years. They were sad that they would not see his face anymore. Can you imagine a man coming to our town? Let's just say this was Ephesus. And the paganism and the false worship and just all of the hatred and violence. And then here comes a man preaching the good news of Jesus. And everyone's starting to get saved and we all fall in love with him. And then one day he says, "I'm sorry guys, but God is changing my course. I have to go now." They wept. They loved that man. He cared for their soul. Paul was, he was their pastor. And you can read about that in Acts chapter number 20, verse 37 and 38. They were so sad that they would not see him again. These Ephesians fell on his neck and kissed him. And so all of these things took place there in Ephesus. Paul encountered operations. And whenever God is working, listen, much of the time when God is working, it isn't you wake up one day and you walk outside and there's this big old cloud with a cross and you're looking right at it. God is working today. Or you go to church Sunday in and Sunday out and a soul gets saved every single Sunday or tens and those by the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s every Sunday getting saved. Now, God is able to save that much every Sunday. And listen, it's not every day that God is turning the water into wine. It's not every day that you're walking on water. Much of the time, it's ordinary, routine, standard days that we're living in, day by day, following the Lord. But don't get it wrong, church. God is working. He is behind the scenes, pulling strings. We are, if I can say it this way, Miss Shauna's watching, or Brother Michael, I don't know. We are his puppets. He's the ultimate puppet master. He is pulling the strings and he is molding our lives and he is arranging things on the stage of life that we may give him glory. And just don't get it wrong. Just because this church isn't filled up to the brim every Sunday, that doesn't mean God's not working. I'll tell you something. God is working at this church. We have people joining, Miss Noel. We have people coming, Brother Travis, and we have people responding just about every service. We've got 23,000 postcards going out to the community. Our church has been recently painted. And the question is simply this. Someone asked me one time, "Is your church growing?" I said, "Yes, we are." They say, "How many you got?" I said, "Well, it depends on how you look at it." I said, on a good Sunday, 75-ish, when everybody's there. Then I told them, I said, you know, it's not really about numbers to know if your church is growing or not. It's about if people are being different or not. I said, it's if people's lives are changing or not. That is how you determine if there's a healthy church or not. And I told him, I said, we have a very healthy church. People come to me. I know they're not lying to me when they tell me they were blessed off a sermon on Sunday morning. Miss Marianne just told me the past two Sundays, God really used the message and used the service. And I know you're not lying to me when you say that. But that's how you determine if a church is really growing or not, as if people, their needs are being met, their lives are being changed. God is at work here, and God is at work in our lives. And so, we see operations the same way in Paul's day at Ephesus. The same thing here. Little by little, you know, a trickle becomes a stream eventually. When it trickles into other trickles, it becomes a stream. We're all little trickles of water. And when we come together, we create a stream. And when you have a stream, you need a bucket. And when the bucket gets filled, the bucket's going to overflow. And when the bucket overflows, it's going to splash the people. And when it splashes the people are going to get wet. I don't know where that's going, but I just thought I'd say it. It just kept coming to me. I just know that God is filling our bucket little by little. And it's all because of your faithfulness. You being faithful and saying, you know what? I could have stayed at home on this Wednesday night, but I want to get up one more time and I want to go to the house of the Lord because God just might have something to say to me. And I want to tell you, some of the meetings we've had, some of the biggest meetings we've had together have been on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. Most of the meetings that people miss, Wednesday nights, everybody wants to come on Sunday morning, and that's fine. But don't put in all your chips for Sunday morning only. Put them in there for Sunday night. Put them in there for Wednesday night. And so we see that Paul, he encountered operations. Now, Paul does speak, and you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 3:6. When it comes to the Lord working, Paul speaks of this, and he mentions how that he uses one to plant. He uses another to water. But then it's the Lord that gives the increase. So Paul keeps us balanced. That's in 1 Corinthians 3:6 if you want to jot it down for later. And so he's moving and Paul is working and God is using him. He encountered operations at Ephesus. He encountered opportunity at Ephesus. And then lastly tonight, and we'll spend a few moments here, he encountered opposition at Ephesus. I believe we can all say amen right there. A little bit of opposition along the way. What he says in verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Many adversaries. And so he encountered these things, but he also encountered opposition. Opposition. You're not going to enjoy the Lord in His presence without a fight with the devil. And that's the truth tonight. Jesus did not get His crown of glory before He wore His crown of thorns. He did not get His robe, His royal robe, before He wore the robe of mockery. Before He was high and lifted up, He was buried in a grave. And the same goes true for us tonight, His people, us following Him in this life, there's going to be opposition. I want you to notice, he says, and there are many adversaries. Adversaries. Adversaries here speaks of course, opposition, but it speaks of being withstood. Withstood. I remember in middle school, there was a time where I was bullied, believe it or not. I was smaller then, shorter, and there would be this bully, and sometimes he would, just after school, he would be waiting outside the doors on the little sidewalk, and he'd stand just like this, and I had to pass right by him. No matter where I went, he stopped right there, and I run right into him. He stopped right here. He stopped right here. He just wouldn't let me get by. And then, this was when we lived in Mississippi, Pascagoula, Mississippi. And then his brother went with him. So I had two of them that were trying to stop me every day on the way home. And they just withstood me. They withstood me. And I don't glory in this at all, but one day I had enough. One day I had enough, and I didn't just use my math book to study. I took care of them two boys and excuse me, and didn't have to worry about it anymore, but they withstood me. I go this way, they'll go that way. I go over here, and they'll go over there. You know what? Tonight, you have an enemy. You try to outsmart him, he'll come right over here, and he'll try to withstand you over here. You wake up and you pray and you read some scripture. You say, not today, Satan, not today. I'm living for Jesus. Oh, he'll just come over here and withstand you. He'll come over here. Paul was withstood. He had many adversaries. He was opposed. And whenever we go to just live for Jesus, when we want to advance in our Christian walk and just go deeper in our relationship with him, just that alone will create him to withstand you. And again, adversaries here speaks of opposition or being withstood. And so Paul's preaching wasn't always accepted in Ephesus. He was withstood a lot by the people, if you can imagine. They were worshiping Diana. Oh, Diana, Diana. I don't know if that's what they did, but they're walking around, oh, Diana, Diana. And Paul comes on the scene and talks about repentance. Repent or go to hell. You know, repent and accept Jesus. And they're like, oh, Diana, Diana, what? What are you talking about? And so his preaching wasn't always accepted. If it wasn't Diana, it was somebody else. And so his preaching wasn't accepted by a lot. He was withstood. And then in Acts chapter number 19, in verse 24, there was a man by the name of Demetrius the silversmith. This Demetrius the silversmith rose up against Paul. Most believe that he made shrines for this goddess Diana. And so Paul was literally hurting Demetrius' business by the gospel that he preached. Every time somebody would get saved, that was money lost for Demetrius the silversmith, because he was working and he was making these shrines and he was selling them, putting them out on the table. People would buy whatever else that he did. Paul's preaching put Demetrius out of business. And don't you know that angered him? And don't you know that angered people who were worshiping Diana? And whenever you go to take a stride for Jesus, not today, Satan, I'm living for you, Lord, and you go to do something for him, and, well, I really don't want to, I want to go to church tonight, but I feel so bad, but I'm just going to go, I'm taking a step. Whenever you do that, each and every time, you are causing the enemy to withstand you. You are stirring him up. Whenever you share the gospel, whenever you say something about Jesus, whenever you testify how good he is, you are slowly putting the devil out of business, and he don't like it. He will withstand. He will withstand us. And so Acts 19:24, you can go back and read that later. That deals with Demetrius the silversmith, how he rose up against Paul. Listen, there will be adversaries that will rise up against us. There will be adversaries, and the devil's the number one, but there'll be adversaries tangibly on the outside of the church that will rise up against you. There'll be adversaries tangibly on the inside of the church that will rise up against you and I if we're not careful. That's why we have to be careful who we allow in the church. To join the church, to be part of the flock. And each and every person that desires to join this church, I always talk with them. They never take it personal. Because I explained, I said, look, you know, we're a family here, and we're just asking just a few questions. Miss Noel knows we spoke, and she just couldn't wait to join. And others, Fletcher, he was so ready to join the church. You know, I really appreciate what Fletcher said before he joined. Back when he joined, he said, been coming, you know, for a couple of months, 3 months or so. And actually, it was when he was watching on Facebook one Sunday, he couldn't make it. He left me a message right after church. He said, Brother Justin, I just want you to know something. He said, I was watching the message, and I love every service. I love every message. But this message stood up right at me and walked toward me. He said, I know this is God's will. I'm going to join the church. And that's kind of how Fletcher talks. What a blessing he is. And so he came. Of course, we talked and all that. He was part of us. You know, Noel now part of us. And appreciate Travis coming like he's been coming, and others that come, visitors and all. But we've got to be careful that we don't invite no wolves in, because we have lambs here. We have sheep here that we're to protect. And I'm to protect and give the oversight of. And so tonight we see that there are certainly adversaries that try to withstand us. In spite of the opposition, Paul stayed in Ephesus for at least 3 years. Don't turn there, but Acts 20, verse 24, he mentions this: none of these things move me. 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your work of the Lord is not in vain. Along those lines is what it says. Paul stayed. We'll encounter opposition, but that just means that you're doing something for God. That just means you're on the right course. You will not receive opposition. You will not be in any kind of battle if you're sitting on the sidelines. If you watch a football game, all those players on the sidelines, they're sitting there looking at the iPads at plays and different things. Those guys on the field busting heads, they're trying to win. And so they're the ones getting the worst bang. Now, everybody in this world has trouble, even lost people that work regular jobs and that maybe are morally good. They don't know Jesus, but they try to do right and they work every day. They experience trouble just like we do that are saved. Everybody's going to experience trouble. But for a believer not to experience any trouble means that we're not in the game. It means we're not a threat to the enemy. Now, certainly tonight we're not praying for the devil to come looking for us. But I will say this, that devil, we're not slowing down. We're moving forward. And you see, we don't have to worry about the devil getting the best of us, because the Bible says greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And he's already been overcome. One day he's going to be cast into his own lake of fire. I like what preacher Johnny Hunt said a long time ago. He said, you know, the Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He says that's all he can do is roar, because his teeth were knocked out at the cross. And that's the truth tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, we are not inviting trouble into our lives, but we know that we will experience trouble. God, we know we'll experience times of Lord, just being heavily burdened. God, we know that there'll be times where we know that you want us to do something. We feel like we're being withstood by the enemy. And then those times, Lord, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, attacks come, and sometimes we crumble with fear, Lord. But God, help us remember tonight that it's by the power of the inner man we're strengthened. Though the outward man perish, the inner man is strengthened day by day. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And Father, we pray tonight you would strengthen each and every person that's here, those watching on Facebook. God, help us tomorrow just walk our pathway with our eyes on you. Lord, heading in your direction. God, life is always much more warmer when we're facing the sun. Anytime we try to turn our backs and go our own way, it gets cold, it gets dark. Help us walk toward the light each and every day. Be with all these prayer requests that were mentioned earlier. Keep us safe. Bring us back safely on Sunday, ready to worship you. And then on our Thanksgiving dinner on this coming Sunday night, Lord, we pray that you'll bless that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone remember this coming Sunday night will be our Thanksgiving, annual Thanksgiving dinner in the fellowship hall. And normally as we would do it, we would have like a devotion. Brother Snyder, I guess, started that years ago. We're going to have kind of like, a testimony time like we did the other Sunday night. I'll probably read a couple of verses, but I really just want us to focus on eating and fellowshipping together. And so we will have a short time of Thanksgiving, giving praise and all. But for the most part, come ready to eat, ready to fellowship, have a great time, and we'll be heading into our holiday season. Remember, next Wednesday, no church next Wednesday. Okay, you're at liberty to go.